Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, I'm Callum from the RPMs, and I'm a drummer.
Hi, I'm Molly Summers, and I play guitar in the RPMs.
I'm Miguel Cosme, I play bass.
I'm Chris, I play keys.
You guess.
I guess I'm Chris. I'm not sure, it might be my name.
I'm Jack, and I'm the front man.
You were childhood friends, we were saying this morning. How many bands have not been childhood friends? It's the first thing that everybody, let's see, John and Paul, were they? So I want to be a pain in the ass to start out. How many of you were actually childhood friends?
Well, I guess, I mean, where does childhood end? At what point would you say does childhood end? See, where does it begin and where does it end?
This is the evening show where we need, these kind of questions to come out.
This is the first existential question of the evening. Forget the music. Let's just talk about existence. Originally, yeah, because me and Callum went a band called Teenage Wasteland that we started, which was before. Yeah, it was a different guy who was on the bass who was a childhood friend of mine, but we got rid of him. So maybe not. But, I mean, me... Oh no, he's still a friend. Well, I consider him a friend still. I don't know. I should really call him actually. I feel bad. But yeah, me and Callum were playing together when you were 16, weren't you?
I was 14 when I met.
14, flipping heck.
That counts as childhood, right?
I think so. I wasn't in my childhood.
We'll be going for hours.
So. I guess just me and Callum. I just guess me and Callum were just, you could maybe say, childhood friends.
There are a lot of UK bands, and everybody just thinks everybody in America is from New York, Los Angeles, Chicago. You're not in Brighton anymore, or are you?
We still reside in Brighton. Yeah, that is a really, really cool place. It's kind of like Austin, actually. What were you asking about Dorset? Oh, right, well, me and Callum from Dorset. Which is no one in America's gonna know where that is. No, but it's basically, that's true. A lot of people in UK don't even know it is. I'm unsure myself. Basically, Dorset's just a little countryside. Like, it's basically, I mean, you know, Texas is bigger than England itself, bigger than Britain. So like, Dorset is basically the size of Austin.
I'd say it's about Dorset. The size of maybe like Maryland or something.
It's tiny. Yeah, it's tiny. But it's just a tiny little like countryside county that we're from, and not a lot going on there, so that's why we left for bigger and brighter things, and now here we are in Austin, from Dorset to Austin.
You are a spookily, I like this, this was a quote, a spookily young Brighton trio, now five pieces. Yeah. You're spookily young. I like that. What's it like to be spookily young? Come on, you guys, tell us a little bit of being, because I get the young, but I mean, I'm old and I'm spookily. Spookily.
I don't know. I guess
I heard the way you said it.
Spookily.
Say it one more time.
Spookily.
Love it.
That's
the full on New York. Hey, hey, Spookily. Hey, you know my friend Spookily. Yo, come on.
Good band name.
That's good.
I don't know. Kind of scary, I guess. A bit spooky.
Is it Spookily?
Spookily.
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 Hey, that's Spookily, more Russian, come though, over isn't here.
It? Spookily. I can't do accents.
Yo, Spookily. You'll catch the game. See what you've started now.
I know. This whole young thing, it's not like you became 20 and said, oh, I'm in a band. There's a little bit more, intelligence and work and playing music a little younger, et cetera, et cetera. So talk about that, because everybody says, oh, the band just comes out and boom, oh, they're spookily young. What the hell?
Yeah. That's how it always appears, isn't it? That the band just appears and they're like, oh, wow, they just suddenly did really well. Yeah. But like, even, you know, you just referenced Shame. Even they've been at it a long time. Yeah. You know, and now they've got to this place.
It takes, well, I don't know, it depends, really. Like,
it takes a lot of persistence.
Yeah, like, especially considering what type of style you're doing. Like, whatever genre nowadays as well. Like, you have to start pretty young, otherwise you do kind of get like left behind.
Yeah, I mean, you have to really love it to stick with it. Unless you're Chris, apparently.
I kind of ruined that quote by myself, don't I? I don't think anyone can use spookily young anymore.
No, that's true, yeah.
What happened?
But, yes, yeah, so what you're referring to, just how like all the stuff that goes on behind,
well,
before you get there.
You've all all played instruments and done stuff since we were young.
Yeah, absolutely. Was mucking around with a guitar, and I figured out if I put my finger on the top string and moved it up and down, it'd make a different note when I was about 14. And from then on, I just kind of like sort of
and
built on that.
Done different notes since, but
Yeah. That's what you need.
I was in a production of at school of Grease, and I had a scene where I had to like pretend to play guitar and sing a song.
Were you in Grease as well?
Yeah, that was when that was only secondary school, primary school. And yeah, literally, like,
that'd be a great way to finish the interview, wouldn't it?
I'm not gonna break into a dance number.
That's right, yeah.
But I like I did this song, and I went home and I was like, it'd be actually cool to learn this. And luckily, my dad could play guitar, so by 10 or 11, that's when I started getting into it.
Yeah, so because it does just start out as you're just doing it, you know, just for a
bit
laugh,
of fun.
Really.
Yeah,
just playing it like you know, me and Callum started out, we're just in the shed. Playing music, just doing some gigs here and there, and then one day you decide to take it a bit more seriously and actually really stick with it.
Bands get to play, luckily in the UK, you get to play all the summer big festivals in front of thousands upon thousands of people, and then you go back to the bars, and next know you're playing in front of 30 or 40 people, right?
Yeah.
So when you talk about where you are...
it's kind of crazy, because our journey has been very... back and forth. I don't know. We do like a really big thing, and then we go on to play. It's like you said, bar of 250
it's
people or something.
Yeah, it's really great actually that you're asking these questions, because they're like such honest, kind of questions really. Like you're certainly talking about like you know perception and reality. You know, and yeah, absolutely. And we never really get a chance to talk about this, do we?
Oh no, we do. And I think actually like. We understand the reality.
Yeah, not in interviews though.
You mean in interviews?
Yeah.
No, that's true. But this is why.
I know. That's right. That's why he's the guy. He's spookly.
Spookly.
spookly honest.
Spookly
too. Yeah. So I think Miguel put it really well. Is that it is your like you get as much where this huge high like being you know being in America and Austin playing is like crazy. And then, like you said, when you come back and you play some sort of smaller gigs in back in England, and then you do something else really big and crazy. So we're in this really weird place where, like you said, you kind of have this huge high.
Ups and downs.
And then you go back to sort of middle ground again and back up again. At some point, you're hoping that you're going to stay at that high at some point, or it will go higher. Hopefully higher.
That's
yeah.
always.
That's what, yeah, yeah, yeah. As long as it's not lower. But basically.
You can jump from there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
we get a lot of moments when like we'll do a show and then it'll like be absolutely mad like the last one we did in England, and then you do kind of go back down to that same level for all bar shows. But then when it gets to the next big show, they're always like bigger and better.
Yeah.
So it is,
and that's what keeps your faith, you know, because it can be difficult when you do a bit of a dodgy show where like if the situation's not great, you're dealing with you know. You know, we've done some shows where the stages are really small. We can't even fit on it and stuff like blah, blah, blah.
What was the thing that
and then
that
can make
you
really down, or, you know. And but then, like, see, next time we do this amazing show and you're back in there and you feel really great again. And it's just about, like, just sticking with it. Just sticking with it, having the confidence to just be like, well, you know, last time wasn't great and I'm not happy with it, but, okay, I'm going to keep going and I'm keep pushing at it. And it's really great that you touched on about it being work. Because I think like you said with the perception of reality and being work, so you're absolutely right. It is very hard. I think some people feel not to say like you know it's not great. It's amazing and we love it. We have these amazing experiences, but it does take a lot to keep pushing through.
You're working with the guy who produced Charlie XCX and all these. But I'm not interested. That's great. That's all great hype for press releases. You got yourself a good producer. That's wonderful. What I'm more interested in is, A, how you got to, boy, what a name. Is it Geffen? Geffen.
He's Welsh.
That explains it. You get him. You say, okay, you're going to produce our music.
We found Geffen through, it was through our management, wasn't
yep.
it? I think they
management.
Got in touch.
Yeah,
and they listened, and Geffen listened to our stuff. He liked it, he said he wanted to work with us. And we just kind of went from there, really. Because we're at a time where we wanted to take a change in direction in our sound, because before it was much more indie and guitaring. And we just wanted to sort of change. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. That's it. Hell yeah. And yeah, we just wanted to go in this slightly different direction, really. More slightly more electronic direction.
Okay, so you have them.
Yeah.
And then
and don't you want to?
Well, every time we went into the studio was a slightly different experience, wasn't it?
Rockfield. In Wales.
In Rockfield.
Yeah.
At Rockfield.
The Rockfield, yeah.
The Rockfield.
That's nowhere else. That's why I mentioned Rockfield earlier.
I wonder if you meant that Rockfield. Yeah.
At the moment, we're just kind of recording song by song. So every time we're going to the studio, we're going to record a different song. Rather than just doing a whole bunch
same
of songs. Yeah.
I mean, we should...
yeah, singles.
Yeah, it is a very modern idea, actually. Yeah, because we have done EPs before.
Well, it's
but
modern, it's also essential in a playlist world.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, and that's what we're doing at the moment. It's easier to... And just it just makes more sense in this new playing field that music's found itself in to just have sort of put out... Sort of just quickly put out singles instead of albums. I mean, you could do albums still nowadays. We have to be pretty big to do albums. You know, you can't really put out albums like you used to. Yeah. Try as they might, yeah. Well, when we got him, so the way we worked with him was that I think it was kind of a mixture of that we had an idea of what we wanted to do, but we weren't sure how to actually do it. But we knew what we wanted to achieve. But Geth, in the way he came in, is that he knew how to achieve what we were talking about.
Cool. So it was a real collaboration.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's really helped us realize our whole new direction.
Cool. He was very very hands-on, especially when we were all individually doing...
Actually, literally, like physically.
Physically. physically hands-on, yeah. When we were all like doing all of our individual parts, like coming out with like guitar parts, drum parts, helping like, you know, with everything, it was very, you know, it was like a big lesson for all of us. And, like, he's very, what's the word, like, especially after the studio, like, he emailed me just, like, give me some good, like, words of advice
he's
and stuff.
He's very personal, isn't he?
Pardon?
Very personal.
Yeah. He's very, very, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's but that's what you want, really, with, like, producers. Because
it's good.
Because any producer can just sit behind the desk and just hit record and,
yeah,
then,
exactly.
And then get... Do like mix it and then everything, that's fine. But if you've got someone who's like, no, this is, you know, this is the sounds you're looking for, I know how to do it, then
what
can't
I
go wrong.
Was, we didn't just record the songs as they were, we really pushed the arrangements. Like, obviously, we wrote the songs before, but if there was like a drum part or a guitar part which wasn't quite right, we'd work on making it better.
Yeah, and what I thought was great about Geth is that he'd actually, like, sometimes he'd you know, come, I think he's done this to all of us, he'd come over to you, and he'd take you to one side, right, okay, listen, right, we're trying to record a really good song here, like, so, start singing, like, we're trying to record a really good song, or something, and you'll be like, it wouldn't be as blunt, but it would sort of basically just sort of say to you, like, come on, we need to really do this now, we need to take this seriously, and at first you'd be a bit like, oh, whatever, like, you know, so I am doing my best, but then afterwards you're really, really thankful that you did that, because it really gets you focused, so it's the kind of kick up the arse you need to, you know, really achieve the best you possibly can.
Nobody's like ever really asked you what the songs are about. What's the filter for an RPM song? How do you know that as you're writing it?
I mean, the writing process has changed a little bit. You mentioned earlier, we used to actually be just a three-piece, just the three of us. Now with the five of us, the writing process has changed a little bit, and kind of all of us just get in a rehearsal room and we write the music first most of the time.
Yes, yeah. Pretty much always it's the music first. And
not always, but it's
a most
great,
yeah,
way of doing
it. Most of
it.
The time it'll be a hook or, yeah,
yeah, just
something first.
Right.
And then, because I'm just writing lyrics constantly, just as I go, just all the time. And then I have like a bunch of them. And then, or I'll have just, you know, a load of lyrics for a song written out already with a subject matter. And then I'll try and put them to this tune and try and, like, because I'll be like, oh, that really fits with that. Or sometimes you, yeah, always a puzzle. I'd say, yeah, you know, always you just have these pieces and you try to see if they stick together. And sometimes the pieces you never thought would work somehow just just lock it in place.
But that does tell you something, because that informs what the music is, because that's very organized. There are some people like, well, I woke out of a dream and I had this vision and then I wrote it down and then I said, oh, I need the notes to go with it. But it sounds like you're a little more organized than that.
It can happen sometimes.
Yeah.
We have had a time where we didn't have an end to a song, and I think it was either me or Jack. We woke up, you dreamt it. I've got it. I've got the end of the song. Maybe.
Yeah, our newest single was written when Chris was just playing a riff in the rehearsal room. And I think it was our first day rehearsing as a five piece. Ages ago. And he's just playing this riff. And I walked in and I said, what's that? He said, oh, it's just something I'm just mucking about with. I said, no, keep playing it. So we kept playing it. And then I asked him what the chords were he was using. And then I joined in. And I was just playing on the bass, I think, or something. Or... I can't remember. I was doing something. And then the others slowly started to walk in and join in. And then we had this idea. And we just kept walking. And then I sung over the top of it. And then we just had this idea in that first hour.
Exactly, I guess. That came from.
Yeah. Well, specifically for your ghost. Yeah. When I was singing over the top of it, I just kept on saying, I came up with that line, there goes your ghost. I don't know how, but I was singing over top of it, and then suddenly it came to me, there goes your ghost, and it just came to me, and I thought, oh, that could be a really, really interesting subject matter. And then from that, I created the idea of someone being haunted by a memory, and them seeing the ghost of that memory, and they're saying, there it goes, you know, it's still there, even though I'm trying to ignore it.
For a past memory.
Absolutely, and being haunted, that's why it says, and it still haunts me now, you know, there goes your ghost. And it still haunts me now. That even now, I'm still haunted by the memory of this person that I'm trying to escape. The beauty of songs is that when you put it out there, people can interpret it themselves. But personally, for me, I started out as, it's the memory of a person.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and here's what it is. Okay. Two of your songs is the bread on the outside. And then on the inside, you get to play anything you want in between by other bands or artists.